I would like to announce that today we have two sessions here today. I will wind up my review of the Baraka Church Doctrinal Questionnaire. I'll have a little bit to say about that when we get to it, but that will conclude our study of that. There's a reason for me doing it, because I wanted to go back to the very beginning. And the very beginning was way back in the 1970s. And I was at Baraka Church. Joe Hunter and I had taken all our crew down to Houston in order for us to go to Baraka Church every day, including Saturdays for movies. And as a result of that, I was getting an overload of doctrine on a daily basis, as everyone else was. And so it was a concept that I concluded while growing in grace in the lower Alabama, on 7-inch reels. And it was during that process that I realized, although I was saved at age 12 in a Baptist church, that at the time I did place my faith in Christ, I also received a spiritual gift. And over the course of going through all of those 7-inch reels, I began to realize that at age 12, I was imputed the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. And what am I going to do about that? A lot of people in my hometown that probably wrinkle their brow about the very idea. Nevertheless, I got through that. And so we went to Houston and spent there a little over 7 years. And that involved a spiritual growth on a rapid pace, because there was a Bible class every night. And on Saturdays, there was a movie. And we would get a lecture before the movie started about the doctrinal concepts or establishment concepts that would be revealed in the movie. So we were always learning more doctrine. So I'll finish that up today. It's something that I realized had to be done. I asked for a doctrinal questionnaire that I could therefore sit down at my typewriter and type in what I thought would be the answers to the questions. And you'll see that if you haven't seen this before. You'll see that on the pages before you. There's a question in boldface and then my answers in lowercase. And you can go through there and see what my responses were. Apparently it worked out okay, because I was ordained in somewhere in the neighborhood of 78, I think. Then I was up here for a couple of years, a little more, as pastor. I was a ringer. I hadn't been ordained yet. Anyhow, that happened. And so we'll go through all of that. I want to tell you that at the end of this first session is a maxim. Max Hunt and Peyton Oxford in this building right now. Oh, there's one of them right there. And there's the other one. You both showed up. You're going to come down front, and I got a prize for you. That's a big deal when we have prizes here. So at the end of the last amen, and I bought time in the back room, so we may go a little long, but we've got a magic button back in the back. We can buy the time. It's time now to have Bible class. And in order to prepare for it, it's customary for us to pause for a few moments of silent prayer. And you may use that time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to continue our pursuit of your immutable truth. It's our prayer that as we concentrate, we will grow in grace because of the things we're about to note this morning. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Now, if I'm going to flip over here and find my place, we are on page 51 of the Baraka Church Doctrinal Questionnaire, which I submitted in 1979. We're at point 59, and it reads this way: For what will the Christian be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ? Here are the answers. The only mature believers will receive rewards in eternity. Since there is no equality in the plan of God, those who do not make the transition from the Y and Z radicals have a resurrection body in eternity, but no decorations will garnish their attire because they didn't grow in grace, although saved. So a lot of people get saved by faith alone and Christ alone, and they go to rammer jammer churches, whatever those are, and how they define themselves. But nevertheless, they may be saved, but they don't pay attention to the doctrine if taught. Or if they pay attention to the doctrine that is taught, it's not orthodox. So you have to come here and be confident that I am going to present you absolute truth from the mutable word of God that is inerrant. And it's your job to decide what to do with that. On the other hand, those who receive blessings in time will see blessings parlayed into blessings in eternity under the principle of a fortiori. If the justice of God can provide the greater, that is the imputation of blessings in time to plus R, it follows that the justice of God will provide the less, that is the imputation of blessings in eternity to that person's resurrection body. So your job after salvation is to grow in grace and get your body planted in front of a legitimate pastor teacher who is going to exegete scripture from the immutable languages of the Old and New Testaments, and then bring it into the English with all the nuances necessary for you to understand precisely what the passage has to say to you personally. And then you have to adopt that. So that's called free will. People don't want to hear some of the things the Bible has to say. They're absolutes. No, I'm not going along with that. And that's your free will, you see. And then that's a concept of losing the orientation to absolute truth. Well, blessings from God, therefore, is based on spiritual growth and not on works. You don't work your way into heaven. That's grace. The rewards for eternity are for the advance to maturity under the principle of the priesthood, not the production of maturity under the principle of ambassadorship. You can't be an ambassador unless you have the doctrine to make good decisions from biblical absolutes. And if you don't know the absolutes, then you're a ringer. Now, the above emphasizes the fact that there will be no equality in heaven. Further emphasis is shown by the fact that rewards will vary with the stage of maturity each individual attains. You can't apply what you don't know. I learned that in school. I was not a good student. I was there because my parents told me I had to go. And they had people there. They called themselves teachers, which I thought was right out of the heart of hell. I got over that at some point, but not at first. Let's take a look at this. What is the Christian's responsibility to the state? You have responsibilities to the state, don't you? You drove over here today and you made it here without being arrested from doing something stupid with a car. Matthew 22:21. They replied, Caesar's. He said to them, then give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Or in a just establishment viewpoint, whatever that happens to be, and then gradually inculcate absolute truth in your soul that you can therefore reflect a divine viewpoint in the things that you think, say, and decide. That's the concept. The above statement by Christ to the Pharisees and Herodians who represented the evil union of church and state is the basis for the believer's attitude toward his nation and is the foundation principle behind his responsibility to that entity. Christ points out that there is a twofold responsibility for the believer to the state and to God. Twofold. So you have establishment viewpoint and divine viewpoint. You have to know both of those entities and then function under them. You have to grow in grace in both categories. When you're born, you don't know what the laws are. You're too stupid for that. So your parents say, there are a lot of rules that we have here in this country, and there's some things you can do and some things you can't do. Some things you can't say, some things you can say, and on it goes. And then they rule the roost to tell you, you can't be thinking that way. You can't be saying it that way. You can't be doing it that way. Get in line here with what we do in this house, and so on it goes. That's because you're an ignorant person. You're born ignorant as though, well, you can't be any stupider than you are when you're born. You're just born stupid. To render properly and fully to Caesar, the believer should pay his taxes, serve in the military if he's able to do so, obey the laws of the land, vote in elections, serve on juries when called, and respect the authority of law enforcement agencies, governmental leaders, no matter who they are, they're in power, elected, and military superiors. They have rank, you don't. To render properly and fully to God, the believer should take advantage of the freedom provided by his nation to take in Bible doctrine on a daily basis. That's electronic contrivances if you don't have a local church. If a local church, you show up when they say the first opening prayer. Daily gap results in the formation of a strong pivot, which in turn stabilizes and encapsulates the nation. So don't turn the page. Gap is grace apparatus for perception. You perceive things as a pastor teaches it electronically on a gizmo or face-to-face from a pulpit. There's a grace process. God will teach you if you're filled with the Spirit and concentrate, and you'll learn a biblical absolute as you do this, and that enlarges your inventory of how to think. So daily gap results in the formation of a strong pivot. What is a pivot? Believers in a client nation who are growing in grace, some of it to spiritual maturity, and God protects those people in that client nation. We're losing the thought in this country over the course of the last 4+ years, and you've seen it on your television screens. And these people are in opposition to the absolute principles of establishment viewpoint. They're trying to change that, and they did so for over 4 years, and now we've got a guy in office trying to get us back to where we need to be, and they hate him for it because they wanted to overthrow this country and came damn near it. Daily gap results in the formation of a strong pivot and in turn stabilizes and encapsulates that nation. They should witness, teach, for example, in prep school, pray for the establishment, support missionaries. If you know some missionaries, and we have a list of them in our bulletin, and there's a way that you can contribute to them just simply by writing a check in their name and handing it to our church secretary, and they'll take care of it. So that's called supporting missionaries, and that's your free will. And assume pro-Semitic stance in society. Always be pro-Semitic. We went through 4 years of absolute right out of the heart of hell chaos from a group of people running this country for 4 years, and they tried to destroy it while you stood fast, while you were being therefore criticized for being a Christian in a client nation. You just never know where you're going to wind up, and it was happened overnight. Do you promise to do this, that, and the other thing? Yes, I do. And what other thing I'm going to do is try and destroy this place. It's Royal Family Honor Code. Pro-Semitic stance in society. In general, a person should live his life under the principle of the Royal Family Honor Code. So, There's an honor code in the royal family. What's the honor code? Bible doctrine. No scripture. 11 categories of systematic theology that you learn incrementally over time as you show up for Bible class or turn on an electronic contrivance. And you take notes. And you try to learn how to apply what you hear. The believer should neither support a government which seeks to control the church nor a church which seeks to control the government. We got some places you can go to amplify that. Daniel 3:16 through 18, Romans 13:1 through 7, 1 Timothy 2:1 through 3, 1 Peter 2 verses 13 through 17, Romans 12:1, Ephesians 5 verses 8 through 20, and Colossians 3:16. And so you can wear out a few books just trying to go and vet those. And there they are. Next question, what spiritual gift do you possess? Do you know? Well, you have one. If you placed your personal faith in Christ, at that moment you were imputed a spiritual gift by God the Father. That's who you are. Now, you got to find out what that is. A lot of people were shocked when I said, I think I'm a pastor teacher. That got around town. Well, how'd you attain it? I received my spiritual gift at the moment of salvation as a part of the five salvation ministries of the Holy Spirit. You did too. What's yours? Do you know? You seem to gradually adopt the spiritual gift you have. Now, you can be dumb as a post and therefore have no interest in what spiritual gift you have. And that's okay. You can be stupid if you want to. That's freedom. So how do you exercise your spiritual gift? Oh, now you can exercise it? Imagine that. What do you do to exercise? Below, I've outlined the development of the spiritual gift of pastor teacher, for example. I had to go orient and adjust to this. Using the format of the equation X plus Y plus Z, the goods. See if I have this. Now, that's what we're studying on the last ringer on that. Grace apparatus for perception, operation Z. Okay, why? Because a little graph shows a Z. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a graph. And so it's a Z. Is that doctrinal? No. It just describes the graphic here. You got a pastor, that's logos. He's going to teach doctrine. The Holy Spirit, didasco, he's going to teach you as you grow in grace. And you have a human spirit, pneumatikos. Then all of that information is being communicated in one manner or fashion, and then it comes down to new. In other words, consider this, okay? If you consider it, then you have to either reject it or accept it. It's your free will. And when you do that, it's positive to what you've heard from the pulpit or from electronic contrivance. You concur with that. You buy into that as an absolute for you. And therefore, the Holy Spirit transfers that to what? To your cardia. That's called the heart. And the heart, therefore, is the place where all the information you learn from Scripture is categorized into 11 different categories from which you can recall and apply. So that's the cardia, and that's cognition. You have divine thought, and that's epenesis. Now, I've been criticized for saying epenesis, but listen, the accent is on the iota. So you got to accent that. And then when there is a gamma behind it, and you can't say a gamma, therefore you transliterate it with an N. You say, why is that? Because that's the way they do it. Epenesis. What is epenesis? Cognition of divine thought. You have a piece of information that is an absolute that you own and you can apply. So then what? You have epinosis, just went through that. But what about those that say, no, I'm not putting up that. No, not me. So that's to contradict. And therefore, common grace says you can have the freedom to reject what you hear. or read. Association cortex, short-term memory. There's a neural network, that's trachea, wheel tracks of righteousness. And there's a conscience, cerebral cortex, long-term memory. That goes to application. The application, confidence, courage, and compliance. That has to do with the fact that when you are positive to what you hear, it goes into your inventory of biblical absolutes with which you can consult, consider, and apply. And that's the process. And it's called the grace apparatus for perception. And that's the graphic for that. And the ultimate there is a crown of glory. Now let's look at the X radical. It shows that salvation plus the simultaneous assignment of the Holy Spirit, or the spiritual gift of sets up the spiritual gift, that's what SGF means, sets up the first potential, that's potential number one, awareness of having the gift of pastor-teacher. Get aware of that. It can be shocking. Therefore, when pertinent doctrine, that's Bible doctrine, is added to the potential, they produce the first hope, that's hope one, absolute confidence of having a spiritual gift, and by continued intake of the word, identification will be made possible. You'll find out what your spiritual gift is as you grow in grace. The plus closes the X radical. It's where the candidate becomes aware that he has a spiritual gift to pastor teacher. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 12:11 and Ephesians 4:11. See the Y radical. Shows the awareness plus aspiration. That sets up the second potential, number two, the attainment of the office of pastor teacher. So you have to attain the office. You can have the gift, but you haven't got the office. So that's the idea here. So when the necessary academic preparation is added to the potential, they produce the second hope. Absolute confidence of eventually attaining the office under the principle that God uses prepared men. The plus closing the Y radical is where the candidate attains the office, the event being officially recognized by the ordination ceremonies of his local church. 1 Timothy 3:1 and Acts 14:23. So you see the process, the buildup of this. Once you or introduced the idea of spiritual gifts, you have a gift of communication, either evangelist or pastor-teacher. You learn which one you are. Then you have to aggrandize that as you continue your spiritual growth with that spiritual gift. So there you go. Z radical shows the office plus the congregation, sets up the third potential, reception of the crown of glory in eternity. When a maximum number of parishioners in maturity is added to the potential, they produce the third hope, which is absolute confidence of receiving the crown of glory among the real imputations of the judgment seat of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 15:10, Ephesians 4:12, and 1 Peter 5:2-4. You see those are highlighted. You can flip open your Bibles and go to those and see how it applies to the paragraph that's being considered. So I've provided that for you. Consequently, for the pastor teacher, X plus Y plus Z equals the crown of glory in eternity. What's the crown of glory for? Executing the spiritual gift you were assigned at salvation. Learn what it is. Learn how to apply it. You do that by studying Scripture. Knowing your gift, therefore, you can, over a period of time, accrue information on how to execute that. There are 11 categories of systematic theology for you to learn. Well, it says here, I am presently in Y radical at the second hope. I have absolute confidence I will eventually attain the office under the principle that God uses prepared men. This is what I wrote sitting in Baraka Church. I knew I had the gift. I wouldn't have gone there in the first place. As a result, I am not presently exercising the gift. I said that out loud. I was sitting in Baraka Church as a student. Since the function under Z radical was in the concept of 1 Timothy 3:6. Here's how it reads. He must not be a recent convert, or he may become arrogant and fall into the punishment that the devil will exact. There's an addendum to this. I was ordained at Baraka Church, 2815 Sage Road, Houston, Texas, on May 17th, 1987. That was something like 38 years ago. H. I guess there isn't an H. What I should have said is section 3. I was about to leave section 3 off. Number 1, define the following technical terms. First of all, rebound. Have you ever played basketball? I tried that. I never made it to 5'9". I ate all my groceries. All I could do was 5'8½", even when I stood up straight. I couldn't make it to 5'9". Everybody else is like 6, this, that, and the other number, like 1, 2, 3, 9, and so on, embarrassing numbers. Rebound. What happens when you sin? How do you recover from that? You made the decision. You've lost your fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The option of the believer's priesthood, which provides for the cleansing of personal sin, restoration to fellowship with God, and regaining the filling of the Holy Spirit. The mechanics involve the believer citing his known sins to God. How does he do that? Well, that's 1 John 1:9. Then we have B here. These are technical terms. What is the angelic conflict? There is a conflict that's been raging since Genesis 3. And Lucifer runs the planet. Did you know that? You're not wanted here. The fall of the angels occurred in eternity past, and 1/3 of the angelic population became what we call the enemy. And they are brilliant. Angels, there's no slack job in angels. These people are brilliant and can outfox you in a heartbeat. And they run the show on planet Earth. Did you know that? Well, you know all these laws we have when you leave here? You know, when I crank the car, it's my idea to get where I'm going as quickly as I can get there. And they got these lines and straps, stripes and such on the road. And I try to obey those most of the time. My wife rails at me about me the way I drive. That's her job. Her job is to say, do you realize you're being a fool? And I said, yes, but I can't take this slow traffic anymore. And what is slow traffic? Well, say it's a 60-mile zone. Then that means that everybody else is doing 80, I am too. You say, you shouldn't say that from the pulpit. What is the truth? It's stay in your lane. All these people with cars out there, none of them know how to drive, do they? There are people, when it's a 60-mile zone, they're doing 52. They should be arrested. You're clogging up the freeways. There's a timeline here. Do I have a timeline? Operation Z, I already did that. Timeline of the angelic conflict. Oh, it's a timeline, aren't they? Eternity past, of course, that's when we all got started. Then you have angelic creation. They had to be created. Then we have angelic rebellion. That's Genesis 3. Then we have trial, verdict, and we have the sentence. All of these things, the demons were found to be out of line. So now we have the angelic conflict, don't we? They're fallen angels, they're elect angels. So we have Satan's appeal. He says, I like to appeal this. It's not fair. Okay? So what happened after that? Well, let's create man as witnesses. We'll see how they use their free will. So they created mankind. So you drill all the way back to Adam and Esau, and that's where it all started. And what they do in Genesis 3, that woman decided she was going to sin. She ate the fruit. You can look at it and smell of it, but you can't eat it. She said, I bet it'd be real good since God created this beautiful tree right here, smack dab in the middle of the garden. I don't want to smell of it. I don't want to just look at it. I want to see what it tastes like. So she ate it. She told not to. Now what happened? Free will. And that started the whole process. And you are the recipient of this. You're born with a sin nature. When they procreated, that first baby that punched out had a sin nature. And everybody since then was born with it, including you. You low life. You work your way through all of the... Oh, I'll go back to that. You go through all of this. You work your way through all of the dispensations. You come out to the end. And then you have the post-historic incarnation. And we have Satan and the demons and the unbelievers. They have to be dealt with, and they will be going to be put in the lake of fire. But they're not going to be put there until human history is over. They have free reign of planet Earth, and you have to learn how to defend your soul against them. You do that at Bible class. And if you don't like Bible class, it's too boring, then you're being bored enough to be stupid. You come in here, you'll see absolutes. There are three categories of absolutes. The Bible tells you, think this way, not that way. Say it this way, not that way. Do it this way, not that way. You sit down, you shut up, you fake it till you make it. At boring Bible classes. And I'm excellent at that. At the end, we have the last judgment, Satan, demons, and the unbelievers, lake of fire, that's down at the bottom of the page. Constant, never puts out that fire. And that's your eternal life. I thought I would giggle at that because I assume all of y'all have placed your personal faith in Christ and you will avoid the lake of fire, but other people in your family, your parents, your brothers and sisters, you know those people. What do they think? How do they think? What are they up to? What they're using their volition to do is evident. And therefore, what you can do is try to draw a wide circle around them or say, do you realize you're going to go to hell in a fire? Do you realize that? And if you don't change your mind here, and then they get all huffed up and say, you can't talk to me that way. And they say, well, look, fine, I'll quit talking to you that way, but don't change the fact. Don't change the fact. Timeline. All right, angelic conflict, faith rest. The aspirator of the soul, which sucks out the human and satanic viewpoint, sucked in by Mati Ates. Faith rest replaces such viewpoint with promissory notes of Scripture and serves to stabilize the believer for concentration on and application of resident Bible doctrine to personal experience. Then we have divine decrees. Somehow I got a divine decree in here. Oh, there it is. Let's define the divine decree. The decree of God is His eternal, always existed, eternalcy. The decree of God is His eternal, always existed, holy, perfect integrity, wise, see the word wise, the application of omniscience to creation, and sovereign purpose, comprehending simultaneously all things that ever were or will be in their causes. Okay, that's thought, decisions, and actions. We have conditions, positive or negative. We have successions, subsequent causes and effects, and relations, the cumulative impact, and then determining their certain futurition. How you think, how you decide, how you do. All that plays out. It's all your free will. But this is the definition of the divine decree on how you execute it. Then you have the decree of God. It's his eternal and immutable will regarding the future existence of events which will happen in time and regarding the precise order and manner of their occurrence. That's in the decree. Then the divine decree is the eternal plan by which God has rendered certain all the events of the universe, rendered certain, including both angelic and human history. It can be past, present, and future. God's decree rendered all things as certain to occur. He decided that they would occur, they would exist, and in doing so, he did not interfere with angelic or human free will. You are a free agent. It's all about how you think. In fact, he decreed that we would have free will. You're a free agent. How are you using your volition? How are you using your free will? Do you know how to think? What have you accepted as absolutes in your life? What are your absolutes? There are certain things you will not think. There are certain things you will think. I don't think I shall think this way. What is he going to say? What are you starting to say now? Are you saying from absolutes on the light or absolutes on the darkness? What are you saying? You know, it's your volition. What are you doing? In the dead of night. There ain't no nighttime with God. You know, he knew in eternity, get this, God knew in eternity past, before Adam and Eshaw were created. He knew because omniscience is omniscience and omniscience knows all that is knowable and nothing is left out. He knows every decision you're going to make from this day forward until the day you die. And he knows it. And do you know what hall monitors were? I had to deal with those. Teachers, all of them had these strict rules. I wanted to talk, they didn't want me to. So I had to orient and adjust to the authority, you see. And you, as a munchkin, you go in there and you got all this information, and you're going to apply it, aren't you? So you try to do it in the darkness of the hallway, or maybe in back room of the gymnasium, conjure. What can I do now? It's how you think. So the question arises, what is the inventory you presently possess on how you think, what you say, and what you do? I mean, there's got to be some rules and regs on that for you personally. How do you think? What is it you say? What is it that you do? That's a trifecta. That's called, did I do gap yet? I think I haven't done gap. Divine creation. Let's do gap. That comes next. We got gap. There it is. I won't go into this, but there you see it. It's really complicated. Grace apparatus for perception. What's the grace? Grace means by grace you can learn by perceiving the study of the establishment viewpoint or divine viewpoint from Scripture. Okay? So you perceive things in the process, and that's operation Z, and you see the Z again. So gap. When we say gap, we're talking about a grace system. It's an apparatus that contains a number of things, primarily volition, and then from that you perceive something. And that's the graphic for that. The pastor, what's he going to do? He's going to communicate. The Holy Spirit, therefore, will take that and teach it to you. He's the teacher. And then it has the human spirit, pneumatikos. That goes down to the nous, where you have academic understanding, and that's called gnosis, and therefore you comprehend the idea. Therefore, volition comes in and says, do you want to believe that? That's news, and therefore you have to consider it. And if you say, no, I'm not going with that. What results from that volitional negative concept in the soul? That's association cortex. You have short-term memory of that, and you just sort of fluff it off. But positive volition can occur. And the Holy Spirit will therefore, at that point, because you're filled with the Spirit, He will transfer that. You concur that, and it goes to cognition. It's in the cardia, and in the cardia you have epinesis. And the epinesis says what? The cerebral cortex has long-term memory. Trachea means wheel tracks of righteousness. You know how to think correctly. Therefore, you use this. And so epinesis also deals with courage and compliance, and ultimately you build great confidence in what you know, what you think, what you say, what you do. And it takes time. And that means boring Bible classes, and I'm good at that. That's gap. Then we have the edification complex again. There's the seven floors of that. I'll leave it up on the board. We won't go with it, but there it is. And it'll be online, and you can take it and print it out, memorize it. Yeah. Edification complex of the soul. You see, there's seven floors of that. There's a foundation, salvation. You got to be saved. The first floor, Operation Z, spiritual growth. We just went through that. Second floor, dispensations. You don't got to know what time it is. And we're in the church age, by the way. Third floor, the 10 problem-solving devices. Well, do you know what they are? And then, no, but I'm trying to find out. And then you have spiritual self-esteem and application, problem-solving devices 7 and 8. Then the fifth floor, spiritual autonomy and the copacetic spiritual life. That's a laid-back mental attitude, copacetic. And therefore, sixth floor, spiritual maturity and occupation with Christ. You're focused on the guy that runs the show, and he's always there, like a hall monitor kind of thing. Seventh floor, lifestyle of the invisible hero and invisible impact. You have impact on the devil's world by the way you think, and the things that you say, and the things that you do. And God honors that. Edification complex of the soul. So then we have G, divine establishment. That's what happens when you drive off the parking lot out here. Divine establishment takes over. When you hit the River Road, they're the boss. The divinely ordained system of human order, which encapsulates mankind under the principle of authority, from which laws are derived for the protection of individual freedom and its inseparable components of privacy and property. Now let's talk about something. Let's talk about reversionism. We're all capable of that on a moment's notice. All capable of that on a moment's notice. I want to run through these here. I won't be able to do them all, but I want to do through three of them because we think things to do here at the end of this session. Stages of reversionism. So I got that right there. Won't go through this, but I'll leave it up on the board for halftime because we've got a place that we need to stop here in a few minutes. But what about reversionism? There's a whole breakdown in 8 points of what reversionism is and how you can, from your free will, get involved in that under 8 principles. I'm not going to go through this. I'll leave it up at halftime. I want to stop in a few minutes because I've got some new Bibles to hand out. I set up a policy when I came here over 40 years ago that when a person that came to this church went through high school, okay, it didn't matter what high school it was. Now, you may know some people, high schools are all over the place. You'll drive by them as you go home. You look over there, nice looking campus, but who are those people in there? Who are those people? How do they think? Do you want your daughter to be associated with anybody inside that building? The answer to that question is not a one of them. If you have a daughter, you hate all boys. They're up to no good. You know them because you're one of them. You know how you used to think. Oh, come on now. Do you think anything's changed since you got your mind right and go to church and all? No. That's not what's going on at high school. No. Perverts. So Maureen comes to you and says, I'm going to go to the movies tonight with Fred. And so your father will say, I don't believe I know your friend Fred. Tell me about him. Oh, he's such a nice guy. And he says, well, first of all, let me stop you right there. He is not a nice guy because he asked you to go out with him in the dead of night. So what do you know about him? How does he get up in the morning? What does he think after he gets up and clears his throat? Where does he go? What does he do? What does he know? Well, you know, he's at school, and it seems real nice. He's real nice because he's at school. There's teachers over there, hall monitors even. Now, they're going to behave a little bit while they're inside the walls, and if there's nobody around, they'll come unglued. And do you know about those points? And what's his name? Freddie Johnson? Who are the Johnsons? Do we know any Johnsons? No, I know him. He's Fred Johnson. That's all you know is his name? What is his full name? Is his full name Fred or Frederick or Freddy? Don't trust a Freddy. That's a diminutive. That means he can't think. Well, if any of y'all named Frederick? I mean, stand tall with that. How about Fred? Well, that's cut it off so all the syllables can be left off. But Freddie? No, no Freddies. You can't date a Freddie. Low lives. I got carried away. I was doing reversionism, and I'm sorry. That you can read reversionism there on the page. I need to stop this. I'll stop at reversionism, and I'll leave this up on the board, and you can review them at halftime and make notes if you need to. And we can have this printed out for you if you need to. Now, here's what we're going to do. I bought Bibles. I've got them around here somewhere. Oh, they're real handy. And when a person guts it out and gets through high school, gets a diploma. That's a piece of parchment, they say. I always, when I came here, I said, I need people to have Scofield Bibles. There are various translations of Scripture. But what you want the Bible for is whatever translation it is, you want to be able to study consistently the footnotes that are sprinkled throughout a Scofield Bible. Now, New American Standard, in my opinion, is the best translation of the Bible into English. That's fine. NIV is not bad. They quit doing Scofield. I don't know why. Scofield Bibles in the NASB, but they continue to do it in the NIV, and that's okay, because the Scofield footnotes are what you want to know. And I see that little thing here at the bottom of the page. Look, weights and measures. Do you know what the weights and measures are? They're in the back. And then you go, what about Corinthians? What's the resurrection summary? Down at the bottom of the page, Scofield tells you the resurrection summary. Flip it over. It's a big, thick book with all kinds of good stuff in it. And I thought it would be a good idea for graduating seniors to have, if they didn't have one already, a Scofield Bible. And we have a lady here who knows how to order this off and get them to put that person's name on the front cover so nobody can steal it. And there were not that people would steal the Bible, but there are those. Okay, I got two guys here that have graduated. You ready for this? They're going to come down front, and they're going to receive their Bible. It is a Scofield NIV. You read all the Scofield footnotes. It's like going to Bible class on every page. I just happen to be the one I'm holding. There's a couple here called Matt and Heather Hunt. And they have a son named Max. I see you over there. Come on down here, if you will. I want to give you this Bible. And it's really important that you know this, Max, that we had this done because they have a page up front that said presented. Come over here, buddy. How you doing?
Doing good.
I'm Joe. Good to see you today. It says presented to, is your name's Maximilian. Do you go by Max?
I go by Max.
Well, I'm going to call you Max. Maximilian is four syllables. It's easier to just say Max. People know you by Max, don't they? Okay, all right. See, it says Maximilian. That's the official name. And it says Grace Doctrine Church, May of 2025. If you didn't know that, this is 2025. But this is your Bible. It's got your name on the front. Now I want to congratulate you, for living through high school. Did a great job. I got another Bible. Same thing, same Scofield, but new name on the front. Lloyd and Erica Oxford. Well, is Peyton here? There he is. I knew you were out there somewhere. And you got a cross on, so that's a good sign. Well, weave and meander your way up here. Believe it or not, I have a Bible that says Peyton John Oxford. That's your name.
Yes, sir.
Look at this. We have this also for you. We have a guy. We spell everything right?
Yes, sir.
Now, see, Peyton, I was worried about the A. You always worry about vowels. They are really, yes, I know. P-E-Y-T-N, no, P-E-Y one. You knew a Peyton with P-E.
Yeah.
You see there? I was right to look into that, wasn't I? So, and your mom and daddy knew to use the A. Okay. And then Grace Doctrine Church, May of 2025. You're familiar with the year. Congratulations. You got out of school?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Congratulations. I wish there were more, but I wish I'd kept a record over 40 years plus of all of the Scofield Bibles that we've given to graduating seniors, and I'm happy that the two more added to the list today. There must be a list of them somewhere. I don't know where they are, but it's in the record somewhere, of those that have been given Scofield Bibles upon graduation. So we congratulate you two guys for your accomplishment. It's now 10:30. We stopped a little early than normal. That's okay. And we'll resume our studies here at about 10 till the hour. Time now for tea and crumpets.